listening to The Ouachita Chronicles.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
How do you feel about the supernatural? I'm just talking about like unknown, unexplainable occurrences in general.
Well, when you say supernatural, to be in the natural state and something be super about it, yeah, I don't know.
That's not where I was going. No, I mean, like, just how do you feel about...
miracles?
Well, just... odd occurrences in general. Do you
have you looked out the window at anywhere in the world right now? That's happening. I mean, you don't have to go very far for that.
Touche. I'll give that to you. But I mean more along the lines of if somebody were to present you with something unexplainable, does your mind go to, okay, well, surely there's a logical, reasonable, scientific explanation for this? Or are you immediately like, oh, whoa, no, that totally, like, do you believe them, basically?
I want to believe. But in my quest for wanting to believe, like Mulder, I want to believe. But like Scully, it's my job to dig in and try to find a reason that it is logical, reasonable, or fast fact it, you know, whatever, and then see what I'm left with.
You're a reporter. I mean, at heart, you're looking for the rest of the story, for sure.
Yeah, but I want to write stories that are...
factual.
Factual, but will blow people's minds. So I'm always on the hunt for an elusive, this can't be true story to put together that is true.
Well, that's exactly what we have for listeners today.
Oh yeah, with Udell coming in?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a fun time. I do want to believe the things that he says are true. I've not experienced them. So I really defer to his story because he was the one with the experiences. And that's what I find so fascinating about people who have had encounters with the supernatural, like you said, because I haven't. And so I'm interested to know what other people's experiences are.
Well, I'm excited about today's guest, Udell Head, as he recounts his experiences and tales and stories of encountering Bigfoot. But I have to throw in here real quick that if Bigfoot is real, Bigfoot would for sure shop at Don's Easy Pay and Don's Home Store.
Yes, and he would probably want the catnapper. Those sofas are huge.
Exactly.
Big
enough for even Sasquatch. So, let's meet today's guest, Udell Head. Welcome to this episode of the Ouachita Chronicles. I am your host, Ashley Smith, along with my co-host, Jerry. Say hi, Jerry.
Hi.
And we've got a pretty cool guest in the studio today. Our guest is Udell Head. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting things about Udell. He's got a pretty cool background around here in MENA, but I'm going to let him tell us all about that. So, Udell, say hi.
Hello.
All right. So, you can give us a little bit of background. Are you originally from MENA?
I was born and raised in MENA. I stayed in MENA till I graduated high school. Went to college for a year. Then after that, I joined the Navy. Spent 8 years in the Navy. When I got out of the Navy, I went to work in California as a police officer. In 1996, I moved back to MENA as a police officer, and I've been here ever since.
When did you get interested in Bigfoot? Well, that's the elephant in the room, or the Bigfoot in the room, basically. Yeah. That's what we want to know about. I mean, this is a pretty fascinating information, so you just give us from the very beginning.
It started about 1979, 1980. I can't remember exactly when. Well, I lived, grew up in Cherry Hill, which is east of MENA. In 1980, we moved to town. So the summer before that was when it started. I'll say this real quick. I've been interested since 1980, 79 or 80, but I never said anything because of my position. People think, well, if he thinks that, you know, kind of police officer is he going to lie in court and things like that? So I've kept it quiet for years, and finally I just said, to heck with it. And then I said, this is what I see and what I hear, and you can make your own decision. But it started, my first encounter was 79 or 80. We're hauling hay in Cherry Hill, and we had a hay field that was split up into two pieces. In the middle of it was a little stretch of woods, and the barn was in one field, and we had hay in both fields, and me and two of my cousins were hauling hay. And we had, at the end of the night, it's getting along 10:30, 11 o'clock. It was way past dark. We're hauling hay at dark, using our lights to pick up hay. And in one field, there's like 8 or 10 bales left. In another field, there's like 20 or so bales left. So I told my cousins, I said, well, I'll go get these 8 bales. Y'all guys go to the other field and get that, and it will be done quicker. So I went and got the 8 bales and unloaded it real quick. And I was sitting in the barn on the bales, waiting for them to come finish up. And as I'm sitting there, I'm just sitting on a bale of hay, just resting. And all of a sudden, I just get nervous. I get goosebumps on my arm. I don't know why. Just kind of scared, I guess.
Uneasy feeling.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, I was nasty smell. Like, oh gosh. So I'm kind of, by this time, I'm nervous and smelling something. I kind of get up and I'm just kind of walking around a little bit. And my cousin's start to come through the woods. And as their headlights are kind of meandering through the woods, I catch something that's standing off 40 yards or so away from me, and tall and hairy and now I know why I'm scared, because there's something there, and then it's gone. I told them about it. We finished off, and I guess we put it off as a bear. So that was in around 1979, 80, somewhere in there.
Okay, not to 80, but how old were you at that point?
Probably 15, okay. Something like that. Okay. We were teenagers.
And had you heard stories about Bigfoot, Sasquatch in this
area?
A few
years later, that Legend of Boggy Creek movie was out, and I seen it, but I didn't pay any attention to it. I thought it was just one of those horror movies or something like that. I didn't have any inclination that it was real or based on anything real, you know. But I did see that part of that movie when I wasn't hiding my eyes.
Right, right. Okay. The back. Yeah. Okay.
I went to the drive-in and sitting in the back. And so I did see that, but I didn't. What to me it was, that show wasn't real at the time.
Right. You didn't equate it. Yeah. I mean, it just didn't relate to your experience, right, that you'd had.
But that
right.
was there, and like, okay, nobody thinks we're weirdo. And, you know, at that time, I was like a, you know, a popular kid in school, and I don't want people to think, you know, I'm so worried. It was a bear is what we decided. It was a bear.
Right. That's not something you want to generally share with people, because you're right. People would say, well, that's crazy.
So years later, probably around 2005, the shift I worked, I was off in the middle of the week. So like Tuesday or Wednesday, I was off. So I went to Shady Lake with my two kids. I think my boy was 8 at the time, my girl was 4 at the time. And we're in B-Loop. If you know anything about Shady, it's the lower part of B-Loop's closed now because of the, you know, that flood that they had a few years back.
I camp in D-Loop a lot when I'm out there, so yeah.
So I was in the bottom of B-Loop. We're in D-Loop, and the only other people in that loop that night was the camp host up at the top. We're down on the creek, and, you know, it's midnight or something. I can't sleep. It's kind of hot. My kids are asleep, and I just can't really sleep. And had one of those little 6-pack igloo coolers that I had bologna and hot dogs in, and we had been roasting hot dogs, and I'd hear that just go scooting across the ground. There's like a bunch of raccoons that were trying to carry it off, so I was playing with them, get up and yell at them, chase them off, go get the cooler and put it back. And I was doing this for a little bit. I'm sitting there waiting for the coons to come back, and the coons don't come back for some reason, and I hear a rock tumble down the mountain. On the other side of the creek is the mountain there, and I'm like, listening to it splash and hit the creek. So I kind of listen to that, and I hear a splash in the creek. That's not a raccoon. That's making some noise. And so I'm just sitting there listening, and all of a sudden I hear a breathing outside of my tent going, I'm like, oh, shoot. So, of course, I'm thinking it's a bear. And I'm like, Mom, my gun's in the truck, and this bear's going to start tearing at the tent. It's going to wake my kids up, and they're going to freak out, and what I'm going to do. So I get this plan that I'm going to unzip the tip real quick and jump out and boo and scare it, let it run off, and hopefully they don't wake up and hear it. So I unzip the tent real quick and jumped out. And when I jumped out, this thing took off running. And when I stand up, and I'm only 5'7", but at my eyesight, my eye level, mm-hmm. I'm looking at a great big old butt. And it took off running, and my eye level is looking at this butt, and it was at the edge of where my lantern can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to scream or anything. The sound of the tent opened, it took off. I didn't say anything. When I stood up, I see a butt, huge butt in my eye level. And
face full, huh? Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, by this time 15 feet away or something mm-hmm. like that. And just getting mm-hmm. out of the sight of the lantern light. And it took off running towards the lake. And the thing that I remember is, you know, like a bear, I've walked up on bears in the woods before, and they're kind of like a gallop, you know, four legs mm-hmm. and things like that. This is like a sprint. It was instead of a, and of course I put that off as a bear. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew it in my mind. I knew it wasn't a bear, but when I tell everybody the story for years, because I did lie about the story, I told them it was a bear. You know, right. I told about the incident. It was a bear. It wasn't a bear, because a bear's, if you've seen a bear, even a big bear's butt's only waist high or something
right,
like that.
Right, so. Right. Well, was there a smell associated with
it at
that
smell
time?
Anything at that time. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice a smell at that time. So in my mind, it's like, okay, there's something out there. And I kind of started liking it, maybe kind of talking about it. Mm-hmm. At that point in time. And
so at this point is where you kind of started, like you said, talking about reaching out to maybe other people in the community that, you know.
People just started understanding that I had an interest in Bigfoot. I hadn't started reaching out to anybody yet, just kind of mm-hmm. kept it to myself. Years later, you know, my kids and my friends went out on so-called expeditions. We just mm-hmm. go out and just sit around a campfire at night and go walking and call that squatching, you know.
Right.
And that's where, you know, my slogan, if you've seen on my t-shirts that I wear sometimes, is squatching ain't easy.
Right.
My thing. And that started when my daughter and some of her friends, some of my friends' kids, we just went out to a clear cut and was walking around the logging roads. And on the way back, it was uphill on the way mm-hmm. back. And she was like, Daddy, I'm tired. We got to, you know, and I said, baby, squatching ain't easy. Mm-hmm. And that stuck. So that's where that slogan came from.
Term was coined there. Well, I'm curious, at this point, you said you were starting to get an interest in it. And, you know, 2005, internet was obviously pretty big at that point, too. So did you start to do some research in it? And is there any research that you were able to pull up, like, I have a lot of questions. Like, is there a difference in Bigfoot and Sasquatch, or is it just two names for the same creature? Or when was the first, you know, stories that were recorded about sightings?
If you can get all on YouTube and find all that stuff. You got to filter through the weirdos, the wackos versus the people that are interested in it. If you watch it for a little while, you can see. When I really got into it was in about 2014. And what happened there is I sell real estate in the part time. And I had a plot of land listed in Oklahoma. And it backs up to the national, very pretty piece of land over there, backs up to the national forest. And an agent from over there had a client that wanted to look at it. And they looked at it. They didn't call me for a week or so. And then this agent called me. He says, "Hey, my client wants to know if he can camp out there overnight." And I'm like, "Okay, I don't see a problem with it. We'll find out." And I said, "Why does he want to do that?" And the agent says, "Well, don't think we're weirdos, but when we walk this piece of property, we're crossing a little creek, and something large and hairy got up on two legs and ran up down the creek faster than we can run on pavement." And I'm like, "But don't think we're weird. He wants to see if he can, you know, handle it out there." And he kept saying, "Don't think we're weird." And I said, "Hold on a second. I don't know if y'all remember years ago, I had this Jeep that I had that slogan printed all the way around that says, 'Squatching ain't easy,' around my Jeep." I said, "Hold on a second." So I pulled off on the side of the road. I took a picture of my Jeep and I texted it to him. So he's like, "Oh, cool. So now we've got, you know, me and the buyer have something in common now." And anyway, the buyer ended up buying this piece of property. He started, and he kind of had an interest in that sort of thing anyway. And he started doing YouTube research, and he found this guy out of Texas that was retired, and he was doing nothing but Sasquatch research. And he's putting YouTube videos up every day, you know, like people do. And every day he would go out and he'd come up with these elaborate plans. So the guy that bought this property got in touch with him and said, "Hey, I've got a place over, this was over across the line in Oklahoma. So I got this place over in Oklahoma you ought to go check out." And this hunter's guy's name was Robert Dodson. And Robert came over, first night had an encounter, went back to Texas, bought a camper trailer and pulled it up on this piece of property and stayed there for 3 years until he died. And every day he would go out. And so since they had an interest, they knew I had an interest because of my truck, they had called me and said, "Hey, come on out." You know, I went out and met Robert. Robert, he was even other than his Bigfoot research, he was kind of a weird dude.
Right. So somebody you wouldn't take as credible.
Oh, no, very credible. Credible. Okay. I mean, absolutely credible. Him and I were totally different. Mm-hmm. I don't hardly cuss unless it's absolutely necessary. You know, his F word every three or four words was F word. It just kind of gruff. But for some reason, we hit it off, and he allowed me to become his partner after a while. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was cool. But he stayed on this piece of property, and I go out with him, and through him and his instructions, I've had several encounters since then.
So for people who may not be familiar, when you say encounters, what types of things or occurrences happen that qualify you a sighting or something as an encounter?
There's different degrees to it, and this is real quick of what I get most of my slack from is deer hunters. I'm not necessarily a deer hunter myself. Most of my friends are deer hunters, and the things are, I'm in the woods, you know, all the time, and I've never seen anything, or I've never heard anything. Well, my response to that is, well, you're hunting for deer. You're looking, your mind is set up for deer. And I can equate it this way. Some of I equate it to hunting golf balls. Years ago, I golfed, and I golfed pretty frequently. And I spent a lot of times in the woods because my golf balls would go off in the woods. So a hobby of mine was to look for golf balls. Well, years ago, there was white golf balls and orange golf balls. And in my mind, I could spot a white golf ball, you know, yards away. And I would always collect golf balls. A couple years ago, I took up golfing again. So out in the woods now, there's white golf balls, blue golf balls, there's yellow, there's fluorescent, there's all different kinds of golf balls now. My mind is still focused on the white golf balls. I can walk up on a colored golf ball and almost step on it and not see it, because my mind is geared towards looking for the white golf balls. The same thing.
They're focused on white-tailed deer.
White-tailed deer. You're looking for a bouncy brown and white-tailed deer walking away. Bigfoot's is going to be a stump. And they're not, people's like, "How come you don't have a, you know, on the internet, you've seen hundreds of my pictures out there." They're always, you know, people like, "Oh, that's just a tree or leaves or something." No, it's not. They don't come out and say, "Here I am." They're peeking from a distance watching you, and you just see bits and pieces of it. And most of the times we don't see it with our eyes. We have to go back and research the, you know, we hear something, we hear what's twig snaps, sticks, you know, snick snaps, and you can hear, you know, breaks where they step on things, and you hear that. And then you start looking in this area with high quality video, and then we go back and look at the video later, and they're like, "Okay, there's a face, there's an arm. I can show you some of these things that is there." But
I've seen some of your stuff on Facebook, yeah. And I've, you know, and I always really appreciate where you had like it either kind of circled or pointed out. out, you know, that you could see that pretty clearly. But mm-hmm. what are, like, you're kind of starting on that track with us. What are some of the signs, though, as opposed to, like, if you were out in the woods and maybe you weren't having, like, an encounter, you didn't hear anything right there, but what are some of the things you can see where you know Bigfoot has been there?
There's stick structures. You go out in the middle of the National Forest and you see, it's not dead bark. The tree's not dying. Sometimes you can see that, you know, a dead tree's got the bark, and the bark is just peeled off all the way up to 14 feet. What can reach 14 feet and peel some bark off a tree?
Right. Not a bear. I mean, they can climb, but they can't, like, just...
Yeah, but they
have to be holding on.
Right, yeah. And so on this particular case, I put a game camera up just to see, you know, there's a trail there. And so I went to turn on the game camera, and I forgot the little card. Like, oh, shoot. So I rode back to the cabin, picked up a card, and came back. And when I came back, I made the exact same trail on my four-wheeler and parked the exact same place. But when I parked, now there's a stick about this long, about that big round, stuck in the ground where I had just... There's no trees above it.
Mm-hmm.
A stick stuck in the ground where my four-wheeler was, you know, 10 minutes earlier.
Like, hey, I saw you.
Yeah.
I know you were here.
Yes. And just there's always things like that. Years ago, I was putting up a game camera, found a game trail, and I followed this game trail. And you remember, you're in the middle of the National Forest, and I don't even know where I'm going to go sometimes. So people said, oh, it's just somebody messing with you. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes. And I went out there and put up this game camera, walked down this trail. It's in a kind of a marshy area. A few days later, when I went to pick up my game camera, there's a crystal rock, but like this and about like this, and it's shaped like a rectangle, sitting on the edge, standing up on the small end, standing up where I walked to get this game camera. So again, they're just saying, I know you're there. I've had rocks thrown at me before, or me and my people I were with a couple out of Texas. We were doing a night hunt one time, and we have these, you can get on Amazon or eBay and get these parabolic mics, these little thing, you know, listening device. You know, put a headphones on it and you can hear, you know, and we were listening to footsteps. And the footsteps are not, after a while you hear it, it's the two feet, you know, step, 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 step. And we were listening to that, and there was one to our left and one in the back of us. So I would get this plan, like, we'll take five steps. And when I say stop, all of us stop in unison. So we were doing that, and we'd stop, and we'd hear, you know, something kept walking, you know, same thing from behind us. And we're doing that, and the guy Bill was in the back, me in the front, and the two girls were in the middle. We'd stopped, and Bill and I were facing each other. And it was probably 10 feet, you know, from him and I. And we stopped, and we were listening, we're smiling because it was cool because we heard the footsteps to our left. And all of a sudden, something came crashing through the tree limbs above us from, like, a top of the tree, and came hitting through the crashing limbs, hit the ground with a thud, and rolled about 20 feet, then went over a cliff down to the creek. And it was this rock probably about that big around.
Oh, good grief.
That I don't know that I could pick it up and throw it to you, but this thing came through the tops of the trees and came and hit the ground and continued with enough force to roll another 20 feet through little, you know, small trees and weeds and briars, and then continue over the cliff down to the creek. So it was probably 10 feet behind Bill. I don't know if they were necessarily throwing at us, but just saying, hey, it's time to go. And
that's what I was asking. Do you think there's, like, malicious intent there, or
telling us to go? And
right, like, we've had enough of you.
Yeah, there's
trying
no
to spy
doubt
on us.
There's no doubt in my mind. Like, all of a sudden, you just, it's time to go.
So right. We left.
Another one of our cool things that Robert and I was like the spotter. He recorded, you know, everything, and he was approached by people from the BBC. You guys seen that show Finding Bigfoot? Had contacted him wanting to do a reality mm-hmm. show, and I'm glad this is audio, but we don't have a face for video, and neither did Robert. But he thought all that stuff was nonsense, you know, mm-hmm. that it was fake, and he was doing the real stuff, and he would post pictures or videos every day. But he had a 10-point thing. He had to have 10 different points, like an eyes, an ear, an arm. He had to have 10 different points before he would say that's a Bigfoot. My criteria is not quite that good, but mm-hmm. it was before, and we found what's referred to on the internet as the 11-footer. And what happened that day is Robert was like 69 and not in very good health, and we'd do mostly everything on four-wheelers, but I don't like sitting on four-wheelers. We just go out and listen. So I would make, like, he would stay on his four-wheeler usually, and I would make circles, you know, a few hundred yards around looking for things. One day, it was the day that my ex-wife was moving out of our house. So I'm going to the woods with Robert. You move your stuff, and I stay out of your way. And so about 2:00, I'd called or text, I don't remember. So I'm not done yet. So I'll stay in the woods a little bit longer. told Robert, I got some more time, let's do. So we went and found a new place. And Robert was on his four-wheeler, and this place has got along a creek where it's got a bluff that's, you know, a big old bluff on the side of the creek. And at the bottom of the bluff, there's a little creek comes into a big creek. And so that's a pretty place. It was just some place that we just had a little extra time. Let's go down this road and see what's down there. And this is what we found. And so I started to cross the big creek on the rocks, and it was low, and kind of look up in that little creek and see what was in there, because it's kind of in a valley thing. And as I'm walking up over there, I hear two rocks bang together. Pow! Like, ooh, shoot. So I was kind of scared, nervous. So I walked back up to where Robert was sitting on his four-wheeler, and I said, man, I heard some. He said, I heard some bangs or something. So he's talking to me about getting my courage back up. So I got my courage back up, so I'm going to go see what's across this creek. And I started crossing the creek again. And this time it was like a, on scene. So I turn around, take off running again. And when I'm back up to talking to Robert, we hear something crossing the creek. Now it's over on our side of the creek, and it's crunching through the woods. And we're sitting there talking, so we're looking in the direction of the noise is coming from. And I see a stump. I'm just looking at this stump. So now I'm back with Robert, and we're hearing noises. Something's crossed the creek. And I'm looking. We're just looking for the noises come from. I'm looking at this stump. I'm staring at this stump, and all of a sudden it moves. I said, Robert. So, you know, in the video, I said, I'm motioning Robert to come here, and I'm pointing down there. I said, I swear that stump just moved. And he doesn't see it. His eyes are not that good. He doesn't see it. He just starts filming the area real close. And, you know, he filmed that for a while. So at night, I go home, and I'm looking at the video, and I know I saw something. I know I saw this stump move. And then in the video, I see the stump that I was looking at. As I'm watching it, it's kind of got a figure to it. I'm like, yeah, maybe it's just a stump. But at one point, there's like a black spot where a face would be. And I'm watching that. And Robert is still, but he's moving his camera, but he's not changing his angle of the thing. All of a sudden, this black spot becomes a big round black spot, because what it was is kind of behind a tree, and it just got a little bit, and all of a sudden now it moves. So I'm watching it, and it was kind of profiling. And when he comes back with the video, he goes out of screen for a minute. When he comes back, now this thing has got a full profile, and it's got his arms around a tree, and you can even see the fingers and things like that. And it was looking through a Y in a little tree. The face was looking through a Y. It was behind a tree, but now it's looking through the. And so I showed him this, and said, we had more than 10 points, so now he's calling it a Bigfoot. So we go back there a few days later to find this tree with a measuring tape. We found the tree. The Y is exactly 11 feet off the ground, and this thing is looking through the Y at us.
Okay, wow.
And so. And what's cool about it is when we were there on that day that we found that tree and measuring it, we hear voices again. Not voices, but steps and tree breaks and things like that. So we're looking, and we had gone towards the noise. He'd walked over to my left, and I'm looking up we're at a flat area. Then there's another bluff with a trail in this bluff, the bluff down here to the creek. And I'm looking. All of a sudden, I'm staring at something. I'm staring at two black circles, and I'm looking at it. My mind doesn't register right away. And then the face comes into focus. So I'm looking at a face that's probably 8 feet off the ground, and then we're just staring at each other. Then all of a sudden, it moves. It turns to its left and kind of makes a semicircle behind a bush, and then it's just going up this hill. And like an idiot, I start screaming at Robert. I said, there it is. And I was telling Robert, I was meant to say that it was going to its left. And Robert misunderstood and said, it's going to, you know, to our, I said, it's going to its left. So Robert took off to our left, and Robert went this way, and it turned around this way and went up the hill to the deer trail. And of course, by the time I got to where it was gone. But you could still see the trees and the limbs moving up this trail. It just took up off this trail, ran up a steep mountain bluff faster than I can run on a,
like, no problem.
Just gone whatsoever. It was just gone. That is where there's not any doubt. I mean, I never had a doubt anyway, but
right, you knew what you've known, what you've seen, you've known what you've encountered, but this truly solidified.
That was, yeah, that, and there's just, we were 5-10 second stare down, and he was just staring at me, and my mind was just trying to say, okay, what am I looking at? What am I seeing? I didn't just say, oh, there's a Bigfoot. I mean, I'm looking at it for like, you know, this can't be real. Then also, you don't see the whites of the eyes. It's just black. It's all black. And
you're kind of freaking me out, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you're kind of freaking me out a little bit. And I have to say that these are the most like notes I've written down. While we've been doing one of these, because I have questions.
Well, these are just small things that are stuff like that happens to us all the time.
On a regular basis, because you're out doing this on a regular basis, just trying to find these signs, have these encounters. What about those mornings when you're not just super duper hungry?
They have all the coffees.
All the coffees?
All the coffees.
But you're not mentioning the most amazing coffee they have.
Tell me about it.
The Frosty Chino, man.
What is that?
Dude, they literally take like frosty mix and put it with coffee. So it's like an iced frosty. It's a miracle. It's an iced frosty miracle.
I want a frosty coffee miracle. What do they call it? A frosty chino or something?
A frosty chino for sure. Do you know that right now you can cash in on the $2 for $4 breakfast special?
And save my money? Oh yeah.
You can download their app and you get 10 points for every dollar you spend at Wendy's. And right now, you get $3 off every mobile order over $15. If you're like us and you love Wendy's and you need more in your life, make sure and visit the Wendy's location nearest you. Because remember, Wendy's is always fresh, always hot, and always satisfying. I mean, it almost sounds like a stupid question in my mind, but what do you think Bigfoot is?
Well, in my heart, Robert would kill me for even venturing off that for a little bit. I want to say that they're animals. That's what I want. That's what I want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've always believed, because Robert, he would hate the conspiracy theorist.
Right.
But in the last few months, I've seen and witnessed some things that can't explain.
Mm-hmm. Aren't animalistic in nature?
Are not. One thing is back in May or June, me and another one of my newer partners went out, and he's a gadget guru. I mean, I usually just carry a cell phone and maybe a camera and a parabolic device. He's loaded up with his backpack, like 6 or 7 different cameras and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we went out during the day, and he had a large camera, a small camera, a cell phone, and 2 GoPros attached to him. And
no, he was ready.
He was ready. Well, he gave me one of the little GoPros, one of these little gyro things where, you know, you can bounce around, but the face of it continues kind of stays still. I don't know if you've seen those there. I was carrying one of those, and I had just taken my phone off the charger before we went out. So my phone was fully charged. And I know because I made a phone call, fully charged. We went about 20 minutes away from our camp, and we found a walking through the forest where there was just tons of, not pine needles, but the pine twigs.
Mm-hmm. Like the little sticks that come off the cones. And
well, they were had the cones and the green attached to it, but they were just, you know, like this, were in just about an acre apart. Mm-hmm. Of this woods was all over the you know, they were new, they were fresh,
they shouldn't have fallen off the trees,
and it's just, they're everywhere. And you know, if a storm, you'd think it'd be all, you know, everywhere, but it's just a little acre place, I mean, and pretty thick. So we took out our devices to photograph and document this stuff. My phone is dead.
Mm-hmm.
His big camera is dead. His little camera is dead.
Just took your phone off the charger.
Just took it. It was 20 minutes, and my phone would last a good 12 hours with the battery. And he had fresh. Everything he had was fresh.
Because if he was that techie of a gadget guy. Yeah, that was
our first trip out that morning, so everything was off the chargers.
He would have been prepared and had full battery
everything. He was prepared.
Uh-huh.
So one of the GoPros was dead. The other one was like at 36%. What happened?
Right.
I mean, it's just all dead.
Well, there's got to be a reason that so many years of people looking into this, researching, trying to find them, that there's not a whole lot of, you know, material evidence that has been gathered. There's got to be some reason for their pictures to not be as clear as what we would like them to be, or, you know, incidents like that. I mean, if they don't want to be found, they don't want to be found.
They're curious, and they don't, you know, that's what, you know, people say all the time, arguing about the blurry pictures. Well, they don't just come out and say, here I am. You know, my contact with that one, I don't know that why he was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, why he was, maybe he thought that he was hidden, and he probably was, but you know, when I stopped and saw him, then he knew that he, and I had kept my eyes on him. I don't know. I mean, they're just, they peek through the trees, the limbs, they don't just come out. And so you just get bits and pieces of them, and you learn what we're talking about, the deer hunters, you learn what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking for that stump versus, you know, the white-tailed deer bouncing through it. And I kind of know what to see. So I've seen more of them.
So has there been any other encounters like the one you just mentioned that have made you think that maybe Bigfoot's not an animal?
I found tracks walking down the middle of the road. All of a sudden, no tracks. Just gone. I mean,
yeah, we don't know what their vertical leap
But I have seen green lights in the woods, or walking towards a green light that you don't get closer to.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a fluorescent green light, and then there's, you know, there's, for where we are, there's probably not a house for 4 miles.
Right, no reason for that to be out there. Yeah. And the swamp gas. We don't have swamps so much around here.
No, and this just happened back this last summer. Me and I can tell you his name is Scott. He had brought some fourth generation night vision with him. He flies down every 2 or 3 months from Maine to do this for just for a weekend sometimes. So at night, sitting outside, showing me these night vision, and we're looking at, it was a clear night, no moon, but, you know, it just, not a cloud in the sky, all the stars. So we're seeing a satellite going through the sky. There's three of us there looking at the satellite. So I look at it in through night vision. So I'm just testing night vision out, watching this satellite go across the sky. And as I'm watching it, there is a explosion in the sky. White, bright red, bright orange, just an explosion. And then all of a sudden a disc came through it kind of went like this. And through the explosion, a disc came out of this hole like this, vertical. Then when it got through the hole, it turned horizontal and just and it was just gone. And I was watching through that through night vision. The two guys that were with me saw it as well without the vision. Like, explain that to me. Mm-hmm. I used to not really be into the UFOs or anything, but I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. It just happened that they saw it, and I also got a good clear view of it because I was looking through it through night vision. What is that? Don't know.
You know, has there been any documented instances of people encountering Bigfoot, Sasquatch, where there's been like actual contact, like things have happened? There were, you know, like you said, you almost walked, or you could have almost walked into this thing's arms. Has there been anybody, and I don't want to keep using the word credible, but kind of that has reported stuff like this? Maybe not here, but anywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Through my endeavors in this, I've met a lot of cool people, met a lot of weirdos. Too, you got to filter, you know.
Right, that's what I'd be worried about, is trying to figure out, separate fact from fiction. Yeah,
you know, my little group that I'm with now. I mean, we didn't know each other, you know, years ago, but now we're best of friends, and that's kind of, you know, brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also people that I don't want to be seen with because they're just too, in my opinion, just to me, they're too weird for me. You know,
right.
So there is credible things out there. There's not a lot of aggressiveness out there.
Okay.
Was back early this year, February, somewhere in South Carolina, North Carolina. In the news, there's that three-year-old boy that was missing for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and 32 degrees or whatever, and he was found 3 days later, warm, healthy, and he said that a bear had taken care of him in that 3 days. Do y'all remember that story?
I do. I remember that. Yeah. But a bear isn't going to take care of you another way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Not in a not a good way.
And the kid just showed back up. That story's all over the internet. I think that's pretty cool. And we know a bear wasn't going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question. Yeah. If there is a theory that the Bigfoot is benevolent or kind or not an animal, what are your thoughts on Oklahoma proposing a Bigfoot hunting season?
I think that's all about trying to generate money because it's starting to be a bigger thing. I think it's silly myself, but
publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of my thoughts on it.
You know, it doesn't change the, you know, it's not, we call it hunting, but it's not, it's research. So I'm not going to hunt, I'm going to do research.
Well, I live in Cove.
Uh-huh.
All right. And, you know, Honubby over there has their festival and everything. And I spend a ton of time at the Costock because I'm really only about a 20-minute drive from the river down there. And we like to go back road and do all that stuff. And, you know, I've heard stories from a lot of people in that area especially. But that's what makes me wonder about the location of Bigfoot, because it seems like there's reports from all across the country, but specifically in Polk County, where do you think that the highest concentration of encounters has been in Polk County?
Well, I've heard of, Polk 61, the four-wheeler trail, what is that road?
Wolf Pin Gap
area, there's that there. Irons Fork Lake,
mm-hmm.
around that area. And anything, you know, on the line, the woods, the national forest along the lines are on the Arkansas-Oklahoma border, out towards the 270, out on the other side of Rich Mountain, Black Fork. There's a lot of...
I was going to say, what about, like, Foreign Gap,
yeah.
Y City area?
I haven't heard of any so much up there, but they got to be there.
But the Black Fork side, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can't drive through that pass without the enormity of the mountain pass you're in. Mm-hmm. It becomes very clear driving through that road. And that's my favorite part right there, is to actually get to see the ridges in the mountain and everything. And I would always look up over at Black Fork Mountain and be like, there's no way there's not some weird... Yeah. You want to beat me out? Some weird up there, basically.
You go out, you get on top of one of these mountains, and you look away from, like, you know, where I go in Oklahoma. You get on top of a mountain, there's houses to the east of us, so we back towards the Arkansas side. But you look north, there's nothing but darkness for miles. I mean,
mm-hmm.
probably 20 miles until nothing.
Yeah, because it's what, national forest,
yeah.
And you can't have houses over there. So you've got the train tracks and you've got the river and
that's the,
and
you know,
mountain.
The speaking of that Honubby, you go listen to some of the speakers over there. Some of the Native Americans will tell you they like to hang out where you know, mm-hmm. three bodies of water meet sometimes, and you know, they got to have water, food,
mm-hmm.
escape
kind of shelter.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I was like, where do we think Bigfoot makes their home? You think they seek out caves?
It's not really a whole lot of caves in this area. There are some cave.
Not right. There's not a lot.
There's not a lot.
But
so
Shady
I don't
has
know.
Some.
Yeah.
I feel like Black Fork Mountain probably has a few, but not a,
well,
not a
probably
ton.
More, we'll probably come across more overhangs mm-hmm. thing. And we've come across overhangs where the bedding is just, you know, bedded down and stink. Mm-hmm. So
and stinks.
Yeah. But I think that their fur and their skin is just so thick and, you know, the elements probably don't really bother them that
right,
much.
That they don't really need much
of we see some, you know, look on my Facebook, you see some of our infrared pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the face. You definitely see the cheeks and the eyes and the nose, but a lot of times you don't see the skin so well because it kind of just is the same temperature as the surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
The heat from the body doesn't really, from end to out, doesn't penetrate there. So you don't pick it up on infrared as well as, you know, the face you can, but the body sometimes you
can't. Like how a whale's got blubber for insulation.
And that's, and we, you know, that through our research, that's pretty much proven that, you know, you don't see the body like you do the face.
You mentioned Cherry Hill was your first experience, right? So I grew up in Yakiny on the river. So we, you know, we had a house out there right on the Washita River and our land came to a point and there was, I can't remember what the name of that creek is where it met the Washita. Our house was right there above it. And I joke here that Jimmy was real mean, but he wasn't. But we had a circle driveway and this was land that they bought and cleared and built a house on. So there hadn't been anything there previously. In this circle driveway, they left a ton of woods and I had to park a good 50 feet away from the house. You know, on the other side because they'd park right in front of the house. And I'm telling you, even as a like 16-year-old, I would park my car, getting home late at night, and straight up run. Okay. Because I spent a lot of time in those woods and I never saw anything really like you were talking about, but I wasn't looking for that type of thing. You know what I mean? I was watching to not step on snakes, basically. I wasn't looking for those types of things. But now as an adult and being able to look back at these things, I experienced some strange things out there in Yakiny on the river.
You probably did.
Yeah. Very, very odd that I can't quite reconcile in my mind. At the time I was like, oh, overactive imagination, you know, type thing. But
a lot of the deer hunters that say, well, and I don't want to start a fight with the deer hunters, but a lot of them that will tell you in a public surrounding, like I would have seen it, but when you get, they'll tell you about things that happened to them in the deer stand or that they've seen, like I can't explain. Well, if you're a good outdoors hunter and you can't explain it, then you're kind of limiting yourself now. So what's really, you know, what are you really telling me? And what they're telling you is probably an encounter, but they just don't want to mention it.
Nobody wants to fly their crazy flag up high. Yeah. Okay. And I mean, just about anybody in this community who has, you know, any type of position, police officer or any kind of a reputation to consider, of course you don't want to talk about those. I feel like putting all mine out there right now, just being like, here's all the things, weird things I've seen and heard, because there was one that was actually just not very long ago that was, you know, out west of Cove. Yeah, out west of Cove, and we were back roading and, you know, just a very weird experience. And so I might share those in our wrap up, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, you know how I was mentioning that I really needed a new couch?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this one I found online.
I mean, that's great and all, but why are you looking for furniture online?
Well, because of the selection and the price. And
that's absolutely ridiculous. You have the same selection and better prices, and you can actually sit and experience the furniture you're going to get for your home at Don's Easy Pay.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they the one who's been family-owned and operated for like 40 years?
Yes, they are, and they offer all the brands you're going to find online, like Ashley, GE, Whirlpool, Catnapper, Samsung, England Furniture, Speed Queen, and more. If you visit the store and it's not there for you to sit on, and experience, they can special order for you. You can have anything you want there, and the prices are going to really reflect in your pocketbook.
So, like, the same Ashley furniture that I'm looking at online, I can get at Don's?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what about delivery setup? Because, you know, shopping online, I get delivery.
Yeah, shopping online, then you've got your delivery fees, your shipping fees, taxes, yada, yada, yada. You go to Don's, you see the price tag, taxes included, delivery fee included, any financing options included in the price on the tag. No math.
Okay, well, what about other stuff? What if I don't just need a couch? What else do they have?
Oh my gosh, every major appliance for your washroom, your kitchen. They've even got game systems, vacuums, stuff for home and garden. If you need it for your house, you can go to Don's and get it. You can also go to Don's and get tires. I mean, really, anything that you need, you can get it at Don's.
Well, you know, I'm really hard on my appliances. What if something breaks?
not to worry, because Don's does all of the appliance work on things that you buy from them. Things like washers, dryers, ranges, refrigerators, and freezers. So you buy it from them, it breaks, they're going to help you out with appliance repair.
Well, this place that I was shopping online, they had like financing options. Does Don's have that too?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so they've got the retail, like if you just buy it, they've got the price there. You can rent to own it, or you can do 180 days same as cash, or you can do 6 months same as cash for anything over $1,000. And all of that has the tax and delivery, everything included in the price.
So the price on the piece is the price that I would be paying.
Yeah, price on the piece is the price that you pay.
All right, so where all is Don's at? I mean, where do I go?
If you live in Arkansas, you're pretty much close to it. I mean, you've got one in Mena, Waldron, DeQueen, Broken Bow, Idabel, Poto, and they're also going to be doing this really cool new home store in Boonville.
So Don's home store in Boonville.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so can I find them online too?
Yeah, so you just get on Facebook and search Don's Easy Pay and then put in your location like Mena or Waldron, Idabel, or Boonville, and you can look at their Facebook page, give them a call, find their address, and just stop in and see what they can do for you.
So basically, if I need it for my home, Don's Easy Pay has it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude, let's go. Car, shopping trip. Jerry interviewed you for an article a couple months ago because we actually had a Bigfoot conference here in Mena. And at that time, you know, you said, basically, I'm getting close to retirement. Right?
And I've
not shared this stuff real publicly for a long time, but you're getting close to retirement. But you're also so steadfast in your belief that you're ready to say, hey, this is what I've seen. This is what I know, et cetera. You're not worried about what anybody's thinking about it anymore. Yeah.
And I don't call it belief. I mean, you know, I said this in my conference. I believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But as far as I know, I've never seen him.
Right.
I have had a face-to-face, you know, encounter with one of these things. So to me, it's just as real as a dog or a cow. I mean, you can't make up anything to change my mind about what I saw. And so I'm not a believer. I know they exist. There's no doubt. I mean, I know that, you know, all these other things you can kind of say, you know, the rock throwing and the stick showing up and other things like that could be a believer. Yeah, there's something doing that. It can't explain. But when I'm sitting here staring face-to-face, I'm staring at him. It's staring at me. It's real. It's just real.
Well, have the encounters that you've had, have they only been with single Bigfoots? Have you seen any, have you been had any encounters where you felt like there was more than one?
No, we have had on a game camera. We don't get a lot of luck on game camera. That's something we're trying to figure out is why. And we've had three different game cameras ripped, the inch-long cords ripped off the tree, and the game cameras disappeared. We have found one of them like 80 yards away. But we have had a deer set one off on a video, then I'm behind the deer, you know, several yards kind of over a little bluff. You see there's three of them walking down a trail.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, you see them from, like, waist up, and the area is, you know, where you're seeing their waist, I went instead, and you can see the top of my cap.
Mm-hmm. So do we think that they travel in family units, or I'm almost about to ask about reproduction.
Right.
Where are the baby Bigfoots? This is what
We have them. I mean, we've got them documented over there from babies lying in the grass. I mean, small to, you know, what we call a juvenile that's maybe 4.5-5 feet tall. We've got a big red one, a big black one, a blonde one. We call her Blondie. I don't know if it's her or not. I haven't seen her drive yet, so I don't know.
You're chatting with two women now.
Say Blondie. It may be an old. It may just be different colored. I mean, there's at least seven different ones that we see and that we recognize on a regular basis.
Now I just want a baby Bigfoot.
I think it's a family of them that stay around that area. And that area's got three creeks that come into it. It's got several mountains or hills and valleys where they could. What we do a lot of times is we walk down in the bottom and give them the position of vantage, but we look up and you can see the face and the things that one of the things I learned to look for. Them watching you. I mean, if it's a tactical situation, you don't want to be down. But in this situation, let them have the tactical, and you look up and they'll be peeking, and you'll see them. They'll follow you. So.
That's okay, well, so now, cool. Now I'll share my most recent thing that happened. So as I said, we were out back roading. It was just me and my husband, and we were actually trying to get to Cedar Bluff the back way. It's very hard to get there. Even the road that takes you to it, if it's not maintained, which the Forest Service really isn't right now, you know, it's a very long road off the county road, and you wouldn't think you were going anywhere until you finally got to it. Because we probably drove, once we turned off the county road, for 20-25 minutes, slow going, but, you know, to finally get down to where we were at. And so it was just him and I kind of late in the day, and we decided we were going to go down and find the swimming hole. Well, we didn't end up at Cedar Bluff. We ended up probably quarter to a half a mile down the river from it, but at another swimming hole, basically. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, we can just find it next time. So him and I, and we get out in the river and we start to just walk up river because I kind of wanted to see if I could see where Cedar Bluff was at. And I had a pretty good idea which direction it was. And I thought, if I can just get around that bend up there, surely Cedar Bluff's going to be right on the other side of that, was my thoughts. And he and I are both rock hounds. So we're like, you know, looking in the water for crystals and walking real slow and just meandering through there. And he was maybe, I don't know, 25, 30 feet away from me because he was going a lot slower than I was looking for the rocks. And I just, you know, got this real weird feeling. Now we're out there, God knows how many miles from anyone at this point. You know, I'm not generally scared of that because I've been in the woods and grown up in the woods my whole life. But I had this really, really uneasy feeling. And where we were at with the river right there, I mean, it was pretty steep on both sides. Mm-hmm. The banks were real steep. And the opposite side of the river from where we'd gotten in at was real, real steep. But there was, you know, basically an embankment that was kind of leveled off before it just started to go straight up. And I just started to get this real uneasy feeling. And I look up from the riverbed and I'm just real slowly, nonchalantly, like that's how I felt like I was, real nonchalant, like scanning the forest right there. And I swear I saw a face. I did. I absolutely swear that I saw a face. And it's kind of just like what you were saying with like a stump. Like I thought I was looking at a tree for a little while, but I just stood very still and stared. And I was like, man, that's a weird tree. That's just a very weird tree. And so I very slowly made my way back towards my husband because he was, you know, kind of far away from me at that point. And I just had these weird goosebumps and I looked back, still there. We started heading back that way. I looked back behind me. I never really heard anything, but it just was a very, I didn't get the goosebumps and uneasy for absolutely no reason, is what I'm saying. So, and it looked like I saw something, but I didn't mention anything to him until we were safely back in the truck, headed out. And then I was like, dude, did you feel kind of weird down there? And he was like, oh, it was a little bit, yeah, you know. But we were out in the middle of the woods, nowhere, by ourselves, you know. You can get that feeling for a lot of reasons. And I was like, I don't know. I swear I saw something across the river, but I don't really want to talk about it. So that was my...
I get goosebumps. So that just lets me know that they're, mm-hmm, they're close by.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, either it was a very strange tree or a face. I mean, it had to have been a very detailed tree if that's what I saw.
A lot of this, you know, what was that called? Pareidolia, where there's faces and
trees. Right, mm-hmm. And as I said, overactive imagination. I have it. I own it.
There's a lot of that out there. And a lot of my pictures and stuff that I put on the internet, you can kind of do away with pareidolia. Yeah, you see some leaf structures look like a face, but if everything's perfectly proportionate, mm-hmm, you know, that if there's eyes that shaped where the eyes should be like and where eyes should be and a nose and a mouth. And
right.
The pareidolia is you can see, you know, every picture you can almost make a face out of, but mm-hmm, you have to go in a little bit deeper and always pay attention to your goosebumps because something is trying to tell you something.
Well, mm-hmm, I feel like if you got visual sight on it, you got sight on it, you've got goosebumps and kind of what you said about the stink, you know, I don't know if I put all those together, I'd probably be like, all right.
This happened in the summer. I had gone to our camp there to do something real quick. I just went out to pick something up. Didn't have a gun with me. Wasn't planning on staying. Just went out and I kind of decided to walk the perimeter. Well, I had to pee. So I went, took a couple steps off in the woods and started to pee. And as I'm unzipping, I got goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and it's broad daylight. It's nervous. I got goosebumps. And I started looking around. And then I hear something crashing through the woods and crossing the creek.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, when I made it back to Mena, I had my pants had pee drops on it.
You embarrassed Bigfoot is what you did. Yeah.
I did hear him laughing as he was running away.
Right, so. Exactly.
So, but I tell that to start out with that the first thing that happened before I even heard, seen anything was I got goosebumps. So there's some sort of sixth sense that's telling you, mm-hmm, that something's nearby.
That
and I saw
in.
The glimpse of brownness, you know, when it went. So that, mm-hmm, another sighting there.
As I mentioned previously, you spoke at the Bigfoot conference that was held here in Mena. Do you have plans to speak at any more events coming up soon in the future?
Yes. Some of those people that I met with, I guess the circuit going to be started in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about me bringing me to speak at some of their stuff in Texas and in Oklahoma. So hopefully nothing official yet, but
right,
they talked
right
about when we go, we're going to call you to see if you want to do that. So I'll be
Nice, I've nice. Got a little, you've got some engagements.
Starting to, a little presentation that I give at like that conference, and I'll just tell you about the same one, probably some of the same stuff we talked about.
Right.
But
right.
here, but let other people.
But just sharing hear. Your story yeah. and stuff like nice. That. Okay, well, if any of our listeners wanted to reach out to you, do you have contact info that you're willing to share, like email or Facebook?
I'm on Facebook. Just find me on Facebook, and
okay.
I pretty much friend everybody or send me a message, and if you're out there. At this point, I don't really have like a take people out because my baseline is on private property. And, and our feeling is that we don't want it saturated. So we're kind of just going to take people there. So I don't really do trips or whatever.
Guided tours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I love talking about it. Like I said, I don't have anything to hide anymore. Just I am what I am. I tell you what I see. You make your own decision what you think it is. And if nothing else, it gets you out in the woods, and people need to be out in the woods looking at all the pretty stuff anyway. It gets you exercise.
That's true. That's very true. I like how you put that. Yeah.
So just getting a glimpse of one every once in a while is just the icing on the cake. Just get out in the woods.
All right. So they can reach you on Facebook. We're going to launch that part of the show that is our lightning round, but we'll just throw some quick questions at you. It's just for fun. Okay. Let people get to know you a little bit better. So I got one to start out with.
Okay.
What was your dream job when you were little? What did you want to grow up to be?
An underwater welder.
That's a very dangerous job.
Yes.
But it pays good, I hear.
Yes.
I mean, I'd never try it, but all right.
You got to kind of flip-flop. Most kids want to be a police officer and end up being some type of welder, vocation.
I had no desire. I didn't even know what a police officer was, really, until I had a...
But you knew what an underwater welder was.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. Jerry.
Okay, if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
It would probably be invisible.
Oh, that was quick. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you could plan the ultimate dinner party, three people, dead or alive, famous, non-famous, doesn't matter, who would you invite?
Ooh, I'd want Robert back because I would want to know what he's seen while he's been away.
So your partner.
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably my grandfather. Probably both my grandfathers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. All right, well, I think that's all we got. Udell, thank you very much for coming and visiting with us, sharing your story. We greatly appreciated your time, and we're excited to get this episode out so people can learn more about this. So,
all right, thank you.
It's time for that portion of the show we like to call Fast Facts with
Producer Trey.
Hello. How are we today?
The crowd roars. Trey's in the studio.
Okay, so yeah, today's guest had a lot of tales for us.
Tall tales, like 11-footer tall tales.
With hair and a smell to accompany them.
He was definitely a character.
A character for sure. But after listening to Udell and getting to visit with him, I'm still left on the fence. And I've got to be honest about that. I'm like Jerry. I want to believe. I really do. But this is one of those things until I see it with my own two eyes and experience it myself, I'm still left wondering.
Well, and I think that Udell made that point, you know, for him, he's not a believer because he has had these experiences. And so I think that's what separates people who are curious about the supernatural or Bigfoot, have an interest, who want to believe versus people who have actually had that experience. I mean, if something's throwing rocks at me, I'm probably going to take that with me to the grave as this really happened. It's not something I believe in. It's something I'm afraid of.
Well, be afraid. I feel like he's not on a mission to convince people.
No.
But if you're interested and want more info, he's there to share his story with you. And I really like that about it. He's not trying to convince anybody, not trying to bring you over to the hairy Bigfoot side for sure. But I got a laugh out of Producer Trey there. We did have some questions during the interview that we've had Producer Trey check for us. You've got those, right, Producer Trey?
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
You are prepared. So.
You say that so surprised.
I'm not trying to be surprised. Trey's great. All right.
Y'all are acting like everything we do around here isn't last minute and winged. I love that y'all are trying to portray to the community that we're just so solid and steadfast in our preparatory endeavors.
Is my nickname not the Queen of Controlled Chaos?
Yeah, Chaos Coordinator.
Yep. I want to know, what are some of the different names for Sasquatch?
So, in specifically Arkansas, we have the Arkansas Wild Man, the Arkansas Tree Man, stuff like that. And then the Boggy Creek Monster over in Falk, the Falk Monster. But they all mean the same thing. You know, unless you're talking about the Yeti or the Abominable Snowman, they all mean the same thing.
Yeah, because that would Bigfoot. Be a differentiation of species.
I'm sorry.
She said it so convincing it took me off guard.
Well, it would be because, I mean, that's like the, you know, it's like the cousin of Sasquatch.
Yeah, cryptozoology is a thing, y'all. Know your species. Know your cryptozoology species.
I love pseudoscience.
Unicorn and Pegasus are related.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, all right. Sorry, listeners. I'm just going to apologize for that. Okay. Well, how many reported sightings of Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Boggy Creek Monster, Fact Monster, etc. have there been in Arkansas?
Oh, hundreds. The first sightings date back as far as 1834.
Recorded. Because people have these things and they don't talk about it because they don't want you thinking you're cray cray because you believe in cryptozoology.
Yeah.
Recorded.
So yeah, the first. So the first recorded ones are around 1834 because in 1811, 1812, sometime around there, there was an earthquake and they believe that a man ran into the woods. He turned feral and he ran out into the woods and he went crazy.
Not
and
Will
I guess feral. I guess he was hairy or something because they called him the Wild Man, the Arkansas Wild Man, and that kind of morphed and turned into a Sasquatch or Bigfoot story.
Wait, he was found that way in the woods?
No,
he went into the woods like Thoreau.
He was never found. He was never found. He was just sighted. People saw him and said, "Hey, that must be a dude that survived this earthquake and turned feral and ran off into the woods
and grew a pelt."
And grew a pelt. Trophy hunters are shaking.
I'm one of those people that when I can't sleep at night, I'm on Ranker and I'm reading lists of like crazy, like just all kinds of historical stuff or like just lists of, okay, well, here's all the scariest legends of creatures from, you know, each state in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And oh man, I love that. Oh, well, I know growing up here of the movie, what is it?
The Legend of Boggy Creek.
The Legend of Boggy Creek.
And that started because it all stems from an alleged attack in 1971. Somebody who was attacked by the Boggy Creek Monster in Fauk.
Which is not very far from here.
No. And that spawned... Where is that? Is that by Texarkana?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
South Texarkana. It's actually about a little bit closer to the Louisiana side of halfway, so mm-hmm. I passed through there going home for my visits. So now every time I pass that sign, I'm going to be looking for the Boggy Creek Monster to come out and get me.
So as far as the... I mean, I'm sure, as with any movie, because we know, like, the movie they made about Mina, American Made, mm-hmm. was, like, you know, 80% fiction. And, of course, they, you know...
Don't tell me that. You're spitting on all my hopes and dreams here.
That's movie magic.
Movie yeah. magic. But they take, what do they call it? Creative liberties. And I'm sure there was many creative liberties taken with the Boggy Creek movie. But as you said, though, Trey, it was based on a real reported occurrence.
Yeah. Like it's well documented.
I think I've read it. And if I remember that, you know, it was like they were in their house and there was, you know, rustling outside and et cetera, et cetera. And they'd go out to check and encountered this beast.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was ever any injuries sustained that, you know, I guess I'd have to go back and watch the movie, but I don't like scary movies, and that's scary to me.
I wouldn't watch the movie. There was a documentary that was made. I've never seen the movies. They made like 3 of them. I never saw any of those. I saw the documentary that was made about Fauk.
All right. Well, I think that's been enough banter on Bigfoot. We will leave it at that. So, as always, thank you for listening to the Washita Chronicles, brought to you by Don's Easy Pay and Don's Home Store. You can find us along with other great shows at thewashitapodcast.com. You can contact us at thewashitapodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you find us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a like. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast streaming platform, please give us a rating. It helps us move to the top of the search, and we definitely want to continue to grow and be able to bring you more cool stories like Bigfoot in Arkansas. So until next time, Ashley and Jerry,
out. Thank you for listening to the Washita Chronicles.